listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You are listening to LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
That's right, folks. We say what we want. Welcome. I'm Bo Hopkins, and you're listening to Answers for the Family. Each Monday at 11 a.m., this show brings you answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. Answers for the Family will address issues such as locating your runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, and international parental abduction. We will introduce you to specialized schools and treatment programs that can really help, and new innovations in the areas of health and security for your family. I'm thrilled to have as my guests today two talented and caring professionals in Alan Cardoza and Logan Clark. Now, let me tell you a little about them. I don't need to tell you anything about them. If you listened before, you know who they are. And besides, it's my show today.
Thanks, Bo.
Okay. I want to ask you guys, as private investigators, or shall we say in TV land, PIs, what's your craziest case you guys ever worked together? I mean, you know, when you were both right there.
And Logan, let's make sure this is something we can say on the air.
Yeah, even if it, yeah. Oh, I thought we could say anything here.
We can say anything. That's right.
I'm a lawyer too, boys. Go ahead.
There you go.
You killed how many?
Oh. You know what? Maybe we ought to start with the one that was right down the street here.
The
counterfeiting.
The counterfeit.
Not much crazier than that.
Yeah.
Go for it. So, okay. Yeah. Well, to start off with, we ended up getting involved in a case where...
Don't say where it was.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, okay.
I know. Where the client came to us and said that they had been ripped off for a very large sum of money. Mm-hmm. And what they had done was they had invested in supposedly someone that was going to copy their money. They said, look, here's the plan. You bring me $100,000 in $100 bills and bring me $1,000 in $1 bills, and we're going to double your money because we have a special printing press that what we can do is we can wash off those $1 bills and we can reprint them as $100 bills. We're going to double your money.
Wow.
And the person was going to then take their share. So essentially, person comes in, gives them $101,000, walks away with $151,000 in a matter of a couple days. Seems too good to be true, and guess what? It was. It was a scam all the way. Yeah. The guy came to us and said, can you get our money back? The way that we set it up was we went in, set up somebody as a mark that was supposedly going to do the same thing. Mm. We put them under surveillance. We determined what they were doing. They set up at a particular hotel. Mm. And, in fact, I went in and I pretended like I was a painter so I could be in the hallway. Logan got things set up from the standpoint of knowing exactly what they were doing in the room. And anyway, essentially what ended up happening was that we watched them do this scam from afar on somebody else. Mm-hmm. And we set up in such a way that we were able to take the money back because we knew how they did it. They took it out supposedly that night while it was drying. The money has to dry, you know? Well, while the money was drying, we went in, we set up to where we took the real money out, and in the morning, these guys figured out that somebody had turned the tables on them. Well, just as we were leaving, and this is where I'm going to have Logan take over, as we were leaving and we're walking through the parking lot, we see, there's three of us leaving. We see three of them walking towards us. Take it from here.
you're on, Logan.
The guy, it was kind of like in slow motion. I mean, I thought we were nailed. We thought we'd gotten away with everything. We had the briefcase with the money in our hand. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the briefcase, we're heading for the car. We're going, we're gone. We're out of here. We've made it. And as they were walking towards us, one guy was reaching in his pocket inside of his coat. Mm-hmm. And I thought, sure, he's going to pull a gun out and shoot us. And I don't know what he was reaching for or what he was doing inside of his coat, but when he pulled his hand out, he walked right up to us. He pulled his hand out, and none of us were packing because it was a scam. We didn't want to, you know, get caught with guns or anything. We were supposed to be hustling. And the guy shook my hand. He said, "I don't know who you guys are." He said, "But whatever." He said, "However you did that, it was really slick. And I hope to God we never run into you guys again." And I just kind of stood there and looked at him and looked at Alan and went, okay.
And our hearts are beating 100 miles an hour.
Oh, well, that's...
It also shows you how stupid people are to get involved in these things.
Well...
Con men that come along.
I tried to tell that guy with the Ponzi scheme there on Wall Street.
Madoff, yeah.
Can you imagine how many people this guy scammed? Mm-hmm. On a Ponzi scheme and all these other guys, a multimillionaire.
The oldest scam in the world.
Oldest. Side prostitution.
Hey, guys, Bo, because you're running the show, there's a call coming in from a 310 number. Do you want to take it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Hello. What's your name?
You're on the air.
Well, I'm just calling in so I can listen.
Okay, tell you what. Let me tell you what you need to do. On your computer, go to latalkradio.com and then click Listen Live.
latalkradio.com.
.com.
And then when you get on there, if you scroll down, it'll say to Listen Live, and click on that, and you'll be able to listen to it.
Sounds like an attorney. Okay. An attorney.
I'm glad to have you listen.
Yeah, it's Gene. Okay.
All right. Take care, buddy. Thanks. I told you not to call Daddy, but no. the thing you guys do, you're like Maverick. You come up against a lot of close calls, except for the fact that with Maverick, he knows he's going to be there next week. You guys don't.
Yeah, right.
Let's hear a big hooray for me.
There you go. Because we're glad we're going to be there next week.
That's right. You got to have a lot of luck, too, and a lot of you got to be a con artist conning a con artist.
And there's no take two.
That's exactly right. That's like the old saying, you can't BS a BSer, but you can.
Sure.
That's my thing. Well, what do you look for in a team or, say, like a task force member that you might want to use or he comes in to you with that idea?
Well, because we do everything internationally from cons to kidnappings to hostage negotiations, you name it, it has to be kind of... They got to be able to fill a whole lot of spots, like a chameleon. Like a con artist, I guess.
Well,
salesmanship, psychology, and acting.
Yeah,
those are the three most important things.
In other words, what's he bringing to the table?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
okay. Right. And what do we need for that case?
Yeah,
you know, if in that particular case, if we decide we're going to go. We're going to set up a fake movie, or we're going to set up a particular type of business that we need in that situation. They got to know that business. Just like, again, you mentioned about these guys that are pulling these scams. I'm trying to think of which guy it was, but it was the guy that had some sort of a computer scam. And when they went into his office, he had this bank of computers. The wires went back to nothing.
Yeah.
But to pull off the scam, he had to have people that could claim that they knew how to work all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right, like the when I went into Sudan, I was one of the times I went in, I was the lead man for a desalinization plant.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know anything about desalinization, but a buddy of mine was an
engineer.
Can you
say that word, Logan?
Desalinization.
I'm going to come down just as low as you. Go, Logan.
There you go.
Carry on, my friend.
Desalinization. Turning seawater into drinking water. Ah. Right. But I didn't know anything about it. But we got a guy on the team that was an engineer who knew how to build desalinization plants. So at least we had somebody on there
right.
that could, you know, talk the talk and walk the walk.
And fit in with what you're doing.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And next week's guest will be Barry White so that we can have that competition to see who can have the lowest voice.
I think... Didn't he just die?
Yeah, I know.
Great. Well, I know who won.
Okay. You know, for those of you out there and it's always wanted to be PIs or see, when I did Rockford, I wasn't the PI. I was the lawyer, disbarred. I like it better that way. for those of you who wanted to be a private investigator when you grew up, how does someone like this get into the investigation business? I mean, say like you want to start from scratch.
Well, first of all, that's assuming...
Okay, that's good.
Now. Well, that's assuming we've grown up.
Yeah, right.
Okay. That's a big assumption right there.
Yeah, go ahead, Alan.
It's a tough business.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's 6,000 hours. You have to have 6,000 hours of training under a licensed investigator. Mm-hmm. And they got to be qualified hours that you're actually, and that's like in 3 years, so it's 40 hours a week that you're actually working for a licensed detective agency. Mm-hmm. Then you have to pass all kinds of fingerprint, FBI, Department of Justice, Sheriff's Department, clearances, everything. Mm-hmm. Then when you pass that, then you're allowed to take the state the test.
Exactly.
Well,
I don't know how many now.
That leaves out a lot of us.
Yeah. How many now? It used to be 95 out of 100 failed.
Mm.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
now.
I don't know what it is now either. But it is a difficult test. I think it's about 150 or 200 questions.
Yeah. So. Well, you also. I remember when I was shooting Dan and Hake. Bring us up. No, I don't.
It's your show. You can bring up anything you want.
I can bring it up. It's my show. I remember I was doing a movie in San Diego, and you were down there on a detective, had a like a convention.
The convention, yes.
You remember that?
Yes.
I was doing, excuse me, I was doing Tentacles.
Yes.
And I came over and with you, actually.
We made you an honorary private detective.
Made me an honorary private detective. I'm an honorary... Marshall. I'm also an honorary policeman in Massachusetts. And
I'm gonna get you in the Middle East with me and make you an honorary government agent.
Making me an honorary chicken meat,
an honorary shake.
Yeah, I think that being in traveling in the movies as much as I have to different countries, I always had a feeling, especially after I did Midnight Express, that somebody was going to frame me for a terrible movie, or you know, put me in jeopardy. Actually, I'll tell you guys a story about when I was shooting my second movie, Bridget Remagen. I was supposed to be on it for 10 weeks, and the Russians invaded in June. And I was on that movie 6 months. So, in fact, that's how I bought my house. But that's another story.
It's my show.
But anyway, how close are today's spy detective shows on TV and, well, I know the answer to this, and movies to the real thing? My answer would
better.
Be different, but Alan, you start.
No, they are. They're getting a lot better.
You mean because of the reality shows or because they don't use actors to act?
No.
Pardon me for bringing that up, folks.
No, not because of the reality shows. No, just because I think either through technical advising, they're using more of the real things that we use. It's not like a big James Bond movie to where it's things that people have just invented.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, Logan and I have both been technical advisors on shows and told them, this just doesn't make any sense. We wouldn't do this or we wouldn't say this.
Because I enjoy myself. I watch all the time the forensic
Forensic
shows,
Files.
Right. The A&E, the... how they when the murder started and how they,
right, crime and punishment,
crime and punishment, right. Yeah, and I think all of us basically are you know, in our fantasies are detectives, just like
super. I did a couple of those shows, crime and punishment, the reenactments.
Yeah,
yeah.
I had to go into again, it's my show. I had to go into a morgue, and I did not like that at all. I did not like that. I, in fact, a quick 2 second thing. When I was there, I was doing the, I was following up on doing research because I was playing a detective, and my friend was you know, he's the chief of police, Beverly Hills, and. I went down to the morgue because he had to identify. I said, come on, I'll show you what it's like, you know, and give me a little pass thing you get in. Uh-huh. Well, they just brought two guys in under a sheet. And I'm sitting there, and I'm really uncomfortable. Don't like that at all. I don't like funerals. I don't like graveyards. It's not that I'm scared of ghosts. I just don't like that feeling, you know, because I know one day I'm going to be there. But... guy raised up, started to come up. He said, hey, whoa, it's okay. It's an action reflex. I said, well, hell, I'll be out here. Here's my action reflex. I'll be in the bathroom. Wardrobe. No way will I ever go. No way. In fact, they had to put me in a coffin, wanted me to get in a coffin for this movie I'm doing. No. John White, my best friend stunt double. John, oh, I ain't getting in there either.
You couldn't get the stunt double in either.
No. I made him change that scene. But anyway, getting back to what you guys were saying, you know, I think you're right. I think it is, and it's very, you know, it hooks you in the beginning, and I like to watch the, you know, the whole show because, and to watch that crazy son of a gun, that BTK killer. Can you imagine this guy living? And I've been to Wichita 5 times. One time doing a movie, 3 times I was doing an American Graffiti thing. And I had some people there. I said, God almighty, I think the last place I'd want to move to is Wichita. Oh. You guys got more crime in Chicago. I mean, think about it. The BTK killer was there. Mm-hmm. These two brothers that raped and killed these three guys and two girls, and then they had another case there. I mean, they got problems there in Wichita. Maybe it gets too cold.
That's more than their share.
God almighty. But anyway, let's
the shows are getting closer. Yeah, the shows are getting closer because I think the public's demanding.
Yeah, and also it's good to figure out. I try to figure out who I think did it, and I think people like that. And it's not like a stupid reality show. It's not a reality show. God, they rehearse that crap. Can you imagine this guy?
He's in the wilderness by himself. He's going, now over here are two wolves. I'm going to bypass them. And being out here all alone, what about the cameraman? What about the sound man, you idiot?
Do you have some cases that would make great movies that you guys can think of?
I think we've had a lot of them. We've got, between us, we've got storage facilities with thousands of cases. I mean, thousands. I mean, it'd be hard to even...
Probably, 15 or 20,000 cases.
Yeah, I can imagine. Storage.
But, I mean, rescues and rescue...
What you probably have to do is simplify it down to one good, movie.
Yeah.
Kind of putting a little bit of everything in there would be my idea.
Yeah, or a series of them, like the Lethal Weapon type movies, you know, where you have three or four of them, or the Bourne Identity, type
exactly.
stuff.
Yeah,
I've been meeting several times with Pierce Brosnan, talking about doing a couple of movies, and you and I have sat down and talked about a couple of shows.
Yes, things I guess that we as a public. Would like to see, besides being the actor or producer or story writer.
We had a lot of things that almost, you know, where we did some shows. We did with PI, a TV show called PI, but I was always getting called back. I just got back from the Middle East 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was always getting, I would try to get something going here and try to put something like that together. And then because we work for different governments and we work all over the world doing stuff and mm-hmm. what I used to do for the government, I would get called and I'd be gone for 3 months on a case, yeah. you know, and nobody would know when I'm coming back, where I was.
Yeah.
So I'd come back and then it'd be like starting all over again, trying to put a deal together, trying to yeah. put a movie deal together yeah. or something. Mm-hmm. And I was just always gone, going back and forth, back and forth. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to try to stay here more.
Yeah,
you know, and stop getting shot.
Well,
at.
If you're gonna do a show like that, you have to you got to quit flying and yeah. be in the eagle's eye and come down to earth and eat that rabbit. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Pardon yeah. my pun, Bugs.
anyway,
but well, you're right, and we've yeah. had some of our cases, and I can think of one of them that was a rescue in Mexico. And what mm-hmm. happens is we meet with the people. You know, they talk about doing it, but. We end up seeing a movie that ends up coming out that's similar to it that now we're not involved in. So very often we'll have the meetings, we'll go over it, and again, one of them I can think of, again, a rescue in Mexico that we did. Yeah. It was an incredible case. We were able to go in, get the children that were stolen, get them out of the country, mm-hmm. Get them back here
How
in the United States.
How many children was it?
And this particular one was 2 kids.
God. Were they from the United States?
Yeah, they were from the United States. Uh-huh. They had a Mexican mother and an American father. She mm-hmm. had come here. Mm-hmm. He had married her here, which yeah. gave her citizenship. They had a couple of kids, and when it came time for when they got a divorce and when he got custody, she didn't agree, so she ran to Mexico.
Do you think it's right, and I hate to throw this on you real quick, but I'm like Edward R. Murrow. I like to get to the point.
There you go.
Do you think it's right for that dog fella to go down there and bring that guy back that was a millionaire that was accused of raping girls, you know, before he left?
I just want to know
you guys' opinion.
Okay. Well, I'll yeah. tell you. In that particular case,
yeah.
and believe me, I'm the last person that's going to support dog in something, but mm-hmm. in that particular case,
yeah.
I have no problem with it. I have no problem right. at all with what he was doing.
Yeah. But it's how he did it.
It's how he did it.
He had the cameras there and stuff, and he could have taken him. There were 5 groups of people down there looking for him, bounty hunters and all right, kinds yeah. of people and stuff. Yeah. And they could have taken him. If Alan and I would have done that, there would have been no cops. There would have been no arrest. First of all, there wouldn't have been cameras there. If there would have been, they would have been hidden.
Yeah.
He did it. He jumped the guy at a taco stand.
Yeah.
The guys there doing the taco, you know, buying a taco.
Yeah, I know. I remember. Yeah.
So all he had to do was go up, throw him into a van. A van pulls up, throw him in the van, and you'd be gone. Well, he jumps him to make a big scene there.
Right.
Of course, the cameras are there. It makes a big scene. The cops are called. He didn't expect to get arrested.
Mm-hmm.
He figured, well, these guys are real dumb, and they'll just let us go.
It's
and
TV.
Then, yeah, yeah, and then he wound up in jail. But he did it to cause a public scene. He got a TV show out of it.
Yeah.
You right. know, but he did it to cause a scene.
Right.
So it's okay to do it, but go down and do it stealth.
Well, it's like people like me that have given money to, contributed money when I had the money to things that mean something to me, like autistic children, cancer, you know, Special Olympics. If I do give that money, my first thing that I say is I do not want any credit, because if I get credit, then I'm just buying a little PR, and that's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it from my heart, which is right. a lot different than my pocketbook. But I understand that Frank Sinatra did a lot of that, and there's a lot of people like even Warren Buffett, who I really like, that does a lot of things we don't hear about. But I'll tell you something. God bless him. When they go, people are going to love them twice as much because they didn't have to talk about how
That's
good
right.
they are. It's like a athlete that talks how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he might be, but he don't cut it with regular people.
That's
he doesn't
right.
cut it because he doesn't appreciate the gift that was given him. Uh-huh. And consequently, I think people like I'll give you my opinion on Dog. I'm glad he caught him.
Mm-hmm.
And for the families that, you know, went through it, I'm glad that happened. But any time we go into a foreign country, you got to remember, we're not the only dogs in the pound.
Yeah, it's That's their right. rule.
Now, if they come over here and start stealing our people, I don't think we'd like that.
That's
I don't
right.
give a damn if they're bounty hunters or what.
So it's a two-edged sword. What it's like love and hate. It's a thin line. It's like sanity and insanity. Thin line. But in that thin line, you got to have a buffer. In other words, to say, okay, you can go this far, but that's as far as you go. Right. And as far as children go, which you guys do, which I'm really grateful. In fact, any parent with a child is that anytime a child is kidnapped, I don't care where it is, then all bets are off.
Yeah,
right. You go get them, you bring them home, and I don't want to hear about it.
Right,
that's right.
That's my opinion.
Well, and I mean, you absolutely nailed it, and that's why I said that in a situation with Dog and the guy in Mexico. Absolutely support the fact that he went down there to get them. Don't support the fact that he made his own publicity bigger than getting the job done.
Well, also, I think, too, the guy, he was a multimillionaire or a millionaire,
mm-hmm.
and he could have stayed down there for, God, he didn't have had to come back. It's almost like the guy that went to Cuba, multimillionaire that stayed. They finally sent him back. I think that in the Mexico and the United States and all the governments have to get together and say, here is the ceiling on what we do. Any criminal cop that has murdered somebody and any white slavery traffic or black slavery or whatever has to understand that we go beyond the rules on that, because that will not be tolerated. That's terrorism.
Absolutely.
Pure and simple terrorism. And so consequently, I'll let you guys talk.
Human trafficking is a billion dollar
business. Well, I'll put it, let me just cut it short. I would thank God I didn't live back in the 1860s, because I'd have been just like Judge Roy Bean. I don't care if you had a bad childhood, hang him, and then let's eat. Now, have you ever fallen in love with a beautiful client like Mike Hammer or Sam Spade? Come on, guys. You can even tell. You can even tell about the ugly ones.
No, wait. We won't share those.
It's a good way not to get your bill paid.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Tell me about it.
Well,
this is my show.
Well, as Logan pointed out, I ended up marrying one of my clients. So, after locating her daughter and bringing her daughter back here. And then actually her daughter being stolen again and taken back. But I got very, very involved with the family, very involved with the whole situation, and ended up marrying her and having two children by her. So and one of the successes of it is that daughter that I recovered has since come out here, lived with us, lived with me and the boys for a while, and has worked with us and is also quite a good young investigator in her own right now. So,
all right. That's a good story.
Absolutely.
I will make a movie out of it in 2020.
There you go.
Yeah, that's great. It's life, but it's a good part of life that, you know, we always have the negatives in life. I guess that's because we're around so much negativity. There's not enough positive out there. I mean, ask Rush Limbaugh.
Why?
Anyway, that's a great story because it's a true story.
Mm-hmm. Well, see? You know, you could probably get quite a few answers from Logan if you changed love to lust.
Well, I met Logan.
He's falling in lust on a lot of cases.
I met Logan's girlfriend one night at the river bottom, and listen. I never had anything at all against Frankenstein and Mrs. Frankenstein, but Logan... Oh, I'm sorry, Logan. I'm not going to talk about that. It brings up bad memories. Tell me about all these beautiful women over in Saudi Arabia and...
And Southeast Asia.
And
Logan's got a few from there.
Southeast Asia, they're pretty awesome. There's some beautiful women in the Middle East. They're beautiful.
Oh, man. My first girlfriend was Argentine and Basque.
Really?
She looked like Ava Gardner. We went together. Well, never mind. But I'm partial to beautiful dark-haired women. And a blonde every now and then for coffee. Anyway,
this, of course, being before he was married. And again, because it's your show, you've got another call coming in. It looks like it's coming in from Hawaii.
Oh, gosh. It's my buddy.
That's right. I believe it is. Let's see what we've got here.
Okay. Hey, it's Bo.
You're on the air.
You're on the air.
Let's hope you're on the air.
Well, it's the invisible voice, the man.
You're on the air. Can you hear us?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now?
Houston, this is a go.
Okay. All right. Maybe we need to call him back. There it is. It's coming back in again. There it is. Mm-hmm.
Hello, Hawaii.
Houston, this is...
Hello.
Hello.
Who's this?
Why, this is Bo Hopkins, and who is this?
Don Stroud.
Hey, Big Donnie.
Aloha.
Aloha. How are you, big guy?
I'm on the Waikiki sunny side of Diamond Head, playing my ukulele, having a margarita.
Oh, man.
Or is it Mai Tai? Which one is it, Logan?
It's a Mai Tai.
I'm sitting here having a Diet Coke and looking at Logan. Now, you got it good over there, boy.
How's all the boys today?
Oh, they're fine. I'll let you speak to Logan. He's right here.
How you doing, bro?
Okay, my brother. Well, listen, what happened to me this weekend?
What happened?
I've been on Tennessee. Baltimore murdered him. I've been on Carolina. Arizona murdered him. I've been on the Giants. Philadelphia murdered him. Then I got so pissed, I've been on San Diego, figure all the losers would win. And then Pittsburgh beat him.
That's right. You got to figure one of them's gonna win. I just figured, you know, once Danielson was out, I didn't think San Diego would beat them. But I'm not a fan of Baltimore at all. I'm not a fan of. I'm kind of pulling for the Arizona only because they're such underdogs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it'd be great to see him win. But I'm a big Baltimore fan now. I think Baltimore take it all. Baltimore, maybe Pittsburgh. You know, I was a big Giant fan. That was my bet for the weekend. No money involved, of course.
Oh, no.
No.
You're just saying.
Coconuts, right?
Just Hawaiian sand.
About you bought your house through that that movie you did back overseas.
Oh, yeah. Well,
when I did Buddy Holly, they offered me 5% of the movie. Well, I thought it was just going to be a little rinky-dinky rock and roll film. Uh-huh. And at the same time, I was doing Choir Boys afterwards, which was a $35 million film.
Yeah.
So on Buddy Holly, I told him, well, I'll just take the money, which was pretty good money. I think it was about $80,000 for the month or whatever it was for the thing. Yeah. But they offered me 5% on the movie. Now, the movie made $75 million.
Hey, believe me, I've been there. Jesus.
Choir Boys made 10 cents, and that cost $35 million. So it shows you the moves you can make, you know?
Oh, man. Well, you know, when I did American Graffiti, I figured that thing wouldn't even make the drive-in, because you got to remember, I didn't see anybody else shooting their scenes, and they didn't see me shooting mine. And then, of course, I didn't realize it, but the music made the movie. But on the weekends, I'd fly home to rehearse with Burt Reynolds at his house for White Lightning. And I thought White Lightning would be the big one.
You know, Charlie Martin Smith was in the Buddy Holly story. He was terrific.
We played all that. Love Charlie. Yeah,
oh, that was the part about it.
Well, you know, he's directing up in Canada. He's
I know Charlie's doing well.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I always loved Charlie. And, well, you know what? You and I have done some – we've worked with some good people, I can tell you that. Both
of
us.
Absolutely. I think the people say, what was your favorite gig and all that stuff? Well, my favorite thing is what I'm proud of is the amount of work that I've done. You know, I did over 100 films and over 250 television shows.
Yeah.
And like Hawaii Five-O, I did Hawaii Five-O five different times within the 12 years.
I did
And the
it
thing
twice,
is the respect they have for you to come back and ask you to come back and work.
That's
you know
right.
your lines and you don't show up drunk. Like a lot of people when they do Hawaii Five-O, they get off the plane from the mainland and you go right to wardrobe and sometimes you go right to work.
Yeah,
which is, but everybody comes off drunk.
I know. Yeah. Well, I was over there with
Slade, Blade in the Sun, and Jack Lord.
Yeah,
I understand where he was coming from. He was over there making movies, well, and the people that came over there, that's 50% of them, were over there to make a vacation, you know?
Well, you know, my daughter, I took her over when she was 12, and she was turning 13, and I'd heard a lot of stories about him and being difficult. And, hell, he had a cake made for her of the islands for her birthday, brought in that day. Had me in his trailer, and he wanted me to hear the Elvis thing in music because he was right there. And
right.
Every time I go to take a bite of food, I was starving. I had to go back to work. He'd say, "Now, Bo, listen to this one." And I love it.
I couldn't eat. You know, Obama was over here.
Huh?
Obama was over here on his vacation.
Yes, I know. Right. Yes, yes.
And the Hawaiian Islands had a blackout. For 24 hours, no electricity in the whole island.
Yeah.
So shows you what kind of guy he was. They said, "What should we do? Should we get you emergency generators and stuff like that?" He just says, "I'm going to bed."
Yeah, right.
No kidding.
Well, you know what? I have such high hopes for him because he reminds me a lot of John Kennedy, and we need somebody like that now to kind of guide us and help us. Help us do this stuff. Wow. And it's good for a change, too. You know, I'm talking about health. See, if Republicans quit fighting Democrats and Democrats quit fighting Republicans, maybe we'll get something done.
Well, I think America needs a blessing. The world needs a good blessing, and maybe he'll give us a good blessing because he has some great ideas, but it's going to be a rough haul out there with the way the stock market is. I know you guys are talking about this Bernie Madoff, this bum.
That's right.
Well, he's out on bail, selling all his assets, selling all his jewelry, millions and millions of dollars of money that he's making right now, and he's out on bail. I don't understand who's sleeping with who sometime with these judges and these lawyers and stuff. It seems like it's all a big cahoots back there, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, my theory on that is... find me an honest man in Washington is like saying there are no fleas on dogs. There is no such thing.
Well, the best part is if you're looking for a friend on Wall Street, get a dog.
Hey, you know what? He's under house arrest, but he's staying in the best hotel in New York.
$7 million
hotel. Man.
How's it affecting Hawaii?
You mean the economy?
Yeah, the economy and everything.
Oh, Logan, it's terrible. It's terrible. It's the hotels are empty. My brother-in-law has three stores here. He's hurting really bad. He has a hamburger stand. He has a coffee shop, and he has a little dress store. And it's hurting really bad. You know, I'm retired now. It's not bothering me. I'm just an old beach boy. But the beach is empty. The kids aren't making the money they used to make, and it's rough on everyone. You know,
this is like that everywhere.
Like you guys are, but Hawaii's having its rough times too. You know, it really, really is. But you know, going back to Madoff again, I was involved in Lehman Brothers.
Oh,
now Lehman Brothers, when they went bankrupt, they took $5 billion in bonuses. Now, isn't that something?
Well, I could name a few people in Hollywood that have done that with their bonuses.
Why can't these guys be put in jail for this?
You know why? Because the people that back them are politicians, and the people that back them are the lobbyists, and the people that back them are people that want to build highways. Look,
absolutely.
I'm not saying everybody is, you know, we all try to be honest, but let's be honest. You know, you can't go home and tell your wife you slept with another person and it was strictly lust. Lust. They don't want to hear that. And so you have to use common sense in what we do. And what we've got away from in the last 25 years is plain and simple. From politicians to actors on down is common sense.
Yeah,
that's right.
And common sense tells you what's right and what's wrong. I don't care what kind of business you're in.
Well, Logan, is there going to be another actor strike?
I don't think it's going to go because of the economy, because of what's going on. I just don't think they're going to get 75% of the
people.
Well,
I'll tell you what. If you go onto eBay or any of these big websites now, I have over 50... not A films or B films. I'm sure you do too, Bo. Selling out there. I'm not making a dime on them. So
ain't got a penny.
What's the deal on that? Because I have at least 50.
Well, here's the thing that I Scott Wilson's a good friend of mine. I know you know Scott, and Scott is fills me in, you know, about every 2 weeks. What's happening is that the website's coming in,
yeah,
and the movies are coming in, and the actors, just like cable right now. I'm like you, Don. I all my movies play at 2 or 3 in the morning. I don't get a penny for them. Not a penny. I mean, God, you'd think Debbie Does Dallas would have made me a little something, but no. Anyway, I think that from what Scott explained to me is that we're fighting for not just ours, but for future generations so that they will not be screwed by the same people that are trying to screw us, number yeah. one. And number two, actors are the low face on a totem pole, always have been.
Yeah, but don't forget, if there were actors, nobody would come to the movies and buy tickets.
That's exactly it. Listen, you know my theory on that. I said it one time. I told John, I was on Johnny Carson's show, and he used this. I said, listen, I'm the monkey entertaining the people. I get peanuts, and the guy playing the organ gets all the money. So my theory is, if you can't share peanuts and other things, you don't need all the money in the world. And besides,
yeah.
I often daydreamed about having all the money in the world. It's the most boring thing in the world because I had nobody to play with.
That's right.
Huh? It's like having on an island with 100 beautiful women. You'd be dead in a week. I would. I'm a lot older.
I might take a shot at that.
There you go.
I didn't say I wouldn't do it. I said I'd probably last a week.
Yeah, but it just goes to show how important the residuals are. You know, Logan, for the last, 15, 20 years, I paid my medical and all my stuff on my residuals.
That's
I
right.
I paid my car payment, all those
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
I'm little $50 residuals, $25, $30 residuals through the years, you know. Of course, you get the good ones, too. But the thing is, if they take those residuals away, that's a whole different ball game then.
Well, you know, I agree with you. And also, the policies that they've made, that Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Cagney, Charlton Heston, and even Chaplin, you go back to Chaplin and those guys, they fought for actors, and they got us the residuals that we were getting in the 60s. Now, Jimmy Garner, he never got residuals for all those Mavericks.
Jeez.
And that's why he made up for it when he did Rockford Files.
You're right.
But, God, think of him and Cheyenne, who used to do his own stunts. I mean, Jimmy's knees are gone because of that. And, but they changed it. And so what they're trying to do now is take away what we already had.
Yeah. It's what we've already had. That's what they want to take away.
That's right. But we're going to fight them. We'll fight them till the bitter end.
That's why they're pushing all these damn reality shows.
Well,
the producers are pushing all these shows.
Producers,
they don't have to pay
actors. They don't want to pay.
Okay, let me ask on those reality shows. Do they have to join SAG, the acting players?
No. Not at all.
You
can grab a guy off the street corner.
Yeah, because it's
so. In other words, the union doesn't get anything from all that. Huh?
Nothing. Mm-mm. Because there's no script, supposedly.
Yeah. Taft Hartley.
Supposedly, yeah, there's no script. That they're going by,
of course.
Yeah, and they say, well, it's reality. They're not acting. They're not taking directions from the director, although they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, they are.
Of course, they are.
Yeah, they have to be.
It's a catch shot. And the camera zooms in just as the person slips on the banana.
Right.
I wonder how that
happens. I know. I always thought somebody in one of them tall buildings that they were doing these things was going to fall, and then that would have been the end of it. It would have been everybody had been sued.
Yeah.
But they're not going to do anything. That they figured it out where they put the people on a plank going across the and then later they expand it and make it look like they're way up high.
I'm sorry, Bo.
Well, what I was saying is that it makes me angry because, of course, now you got to realize, and I do, that television was not invented for TV shows and movies. It was for news. And now, and then as it got bigger, then they started bringing on Howdy Doody and all that, and it got...
Variety shows, too, the variety,
right.
You know.
That's right. Variety shows were the best. And yeah. So I think now that we've gone, that we've come this far, we got to get paid residuals for the movies that we have done. We have to get paid for residuals for cable, for, and we have to now get it for the website. And
yeah,
we also have to get it for, you know, other purposes that we don't even know about now.
Well, it's going to be hard to monitor all that stuff, too. That's another thing, too, you know, to monitor all that. You know, talking about lawsuits, what do you think about this lawsuit, this woman that has the same name as the body they found of the child and the woman that they say the mother killed him, Crowley or whatever it is, the name? And she has the same name that she said that kidnapped the kid.
Kaylee?
You know which one I'm talking about?
Kaylee?
Kaylee?
The little girl?
Yeah. And now the woman's suing because she has the same name as the woman she said that she dropped off with the babysitter.
That's just... I see what you mean. Well, you got to realize...
Who's she suing?
She's suing
him because she has the same name and people are harassing him. But what if everybody, all the Petersons in the world and all the other people that are the same name the killers of the world, are they all going to go to court and get $1 million because their name is the same as the killer?
Think of if your name was Bob Ford.
Jesse
James.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it again. It's got, you know. It's got to be a
any reason to sue. Anything they can come up with
within a look. Common sense should tell judges a lot. I don't care about A41-52 in page 135 of the state book. I want to hear: is he guilty or is he not? Or did you think they did it? So we can get a jury to decide what they did. We're not always. Of course, we're going to make mistakes. Good God, we're not human. We're human beings.
Yeah, but the lawsuits.
And if we electrocute somebody and they find out about it and they were innocent, then we have to take care of that family and that generation of families. That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
See, when you were caught in stealing a horse in the West, that was your car. So you didn't you didn't have no trial. You just hung them. Yeah. Now we've learned that people were starving and they're different. It's according to the circumstance, I think, should be in the law. According to the circumstance.
But they're suing for anything now. The classic one that I ever heard was...
Suing for anything now, Logan. You know, anything.
Don, there was one where a guy was working for, like, I don't know that it was Pizza Hut. It was a pizza place, a pizza delivery place. And he was delivering pizza. And this is a factual case that we actually had to look up when I was training. And this guy's delivering pizza. He delivers pizza to this lady. She's home alone. He rapes her. He gets arrested, right? He gets convicted for raping her. In prison, he sues the pizza place because they didn't do a background check on him. Had they done a background check, they would have found out that he had prior rapes that he had committed. Okay. And his attorney's whole thing was, had you done a background check on my client, you would have known that he had been a rapist and that, you know, that he had been convicted of that before, and you would not have put him in the position where he would be forced to rape somebody again by delivering pizzas, and he won, Don. He won the lawsuit.
God. In other words,
remember the time you guys did the sting and you posed as Pizza Man to serve the warrant?
Yes.
Pizza Man delivers. Thank you very much, and here's your warrant.
The guy was watching the Super Bowl. We couldn't get him. The guy was watching.
Well, that's almost like if you steal a man's horse and you ride off, and the horse throws you break your neck. You're going to sue the guy that owns the horse.
That's right.
I mean, that's where we've
exactly.
gone.
Exactly.
You know?
That's a perfect example. That's a perfect example.
No, it is.
Yeah.
Your goddamn horse threw me.
Yeah, I'm going to have to sue you. Broke my neck on that damn horse. Mm-hmm. So.
Better days anyway. Hey, Logan, didn't you make an honorary detective just like Bo?
That's right. You did, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
That's
you
right.
were at the... That was in Los
Angeles. down in Chinatown in Los Angeles. We had a big party, and you guys made me an honorary detective.
You better believe it.
Yeah.
We most
certainly
did.
There you go. We're all cops, huh?
Hey, I tell you what, you and I, we can go on a case ourselves now, huh?
You were doing.
I think the three of us would do a good television show. What do you think?
Yes. Hey, there you go.
Let's do a reality show.
Yeah.
Let's go to Washington.
You know, Logan, I'm playing bongos with the Melvin Lead Band. Is she from, you remember her?
Yes, I do.
Lead, oh, she's terrific. We play at the Elks Club every Sunday, and I started sitting in with them at a party one night, and they didn't realize I could play. You know, I can play drums pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been playing over at the club, so I'm sort of sitting in with the band, and it's a great thrill for me to do that, you know.
Oh, that is so cool.
Man,
well, you played the drums in the Buddy Holly story, didn't you?
I played the music live. That music is all live. There's another ripoff that we had. You know, we made an album on that sold, well, in those days, maybe 500,000, 700,000 copies. We didn't see a dime on that because it wasn't in the fine print.
Uh-oh. Well, listen, they're pointing at me now. We've got to cut off. Stay in touch with us, okay?
Okay, Bo, thank you very much.
I love you, buddy.
Hey, I love you, man.
Hey, Don, thanks for calling in again.
We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, brothers.
Take care, you, Seth.
Say hi to Terry.
Okay, baby.
All right,
bro. Bud. All right. Now, that was Don Stroud, a very good friend of mine.
Great actor.
Great actor. Don has done, well, he was doing, I think, about the same time I started out. He was a little bit before me, but we went up a lot of the same roles.
Late 60s.
That's right. That's
yeah,
about,
late
that's,
60s.
Yeah, that's right.
He was a crazy boy.
He was. Okay, we're going to have to take a break now.
That's right. We're out of time because TJ's show is coming up.
Yeah.
Bo, thank you so much for taking over the show. You did a great job.
Thank you.
Glad we could all be here. Again, Don, thanks for calling in. For anybody, if you want to comment on the show, go to answersforthefamily.com. That's answers, the numeral for thefamily.com. We appreciate you listening, and we are out of here.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza.
Alan Cardoza.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You are listening to